productive. One of the problems with conveyors is that they carry back material. Material sticks to the belt after the discharge, and then that material piles up, causes premature equipment failure and belt tracking problems, excessive cleanup. The biggest and best way to prevent that problem is to use belt scrapers. But I teach these classes both virtually and live, and every class that I teach, I always have people that have belt cleaners installed at their head pulleys and still have carryback. And there's more to controlling carryback than just installing belt cleaners, and that's what I'd like to share with you today. So thank you, Steve, for having us. We're happy to be here, and that's some of the things that we're gonna share today with you. So here's what we're gonna cover. First, we're gonna talk about belt cleaner performance expectations. And then secondly, we're gonna talk about some critical installation and selection guidance. And third, we're gonna talk about how splices are gonna affect the amount of carryback that you could expect. So I wanna talk a little bit about belt cleaner expectations. It doesn't matter the manufacturer of belt cleaner that you're using, most belt cleaners, when installed in the primary position, are gonna usually only eliminate about 50% of the carryback. If you include in your belt cleaner a secondary belt cleaner, you can increase that by about 40% and eliminate, in some cases, as much as maybe 90% of the carryback if you use in conjunction with the primary a secondary cleaner as well. Primary belt cleaners usually only get the really large pieces of carryback because in most cases, those primary belt cleaners are made of urethane. And the reason manufacturers make those primary blades out of urethane is because they're installed at what we call a peeling angle, which is aggressive to the belt. If you were to use a product other than urethane or rubber, that belt cleaner would most likely damage the belt because of that aggressive peeling angle. Peeling angles are defined as an angle that approaches the belt at greater than 90 degrees. Secondary belt cleaners typically install in a way that they are equal to 90 degrees or less than 90 degrees, causing what we call a scraping or non-aggressive angle to the belt. Therefore, secondary cleaners can eliminate those really fine, really sticky, sometimes wet pieces of carryback that stick to the belt that typically get past that primary cleaner, because those secondary cleaners in that non-aggressive angle can be made of steel. And in most cases, tungsten carbide is the preferred steel to use in those secondary cleaners. So first of all, when evaluating belt cleaners, one of the things that you've got to take into consideration is, are you getting 90% of your carryback eliminated? If you're not getting 90%, you have to first look at the primary and as well as the secondary and ensure that that secondary cleaner is indeed made of tungsten carbide. There are manufacturers out there that'll make secondary cleaners out of rubber or out of urethane, but typically that material is not gonna eliminate those really fine pieces of carryback that will get past the primary. Now recently we've introduced a metal tipped primary cleaner. This improved metal primary cleaner delivers the tip of the blade, as you can see in the photo on your left and the center photo, it delivers the tip of that blade at a perfect 90 degree angle and does not create a shelf for material to pile up on. So this is a primary cleaner installed in that primary position, typically gonna get more than 50% of that carryback because it's tungsten carbide. and safe to install because it approaches the belt at that 90 degree angle, which is still considered non-aggressive. So if you're having difficulties cleaning your belt properly with urethane, you can consider tungsten carbide tipped primary cleaners, but they're not very common in the market. So let's talk a little bit about when belt cleaners won't meet these expectations of 90%. Typically, it can come from a handful of issues. Improper or lack of maintenance is going to cause the belt cleaner performance to go down. Interference of the splice will affect the performance of your belt cleaners. If the belt has any surface damage, you're not going to get that 90% performance that you should expect. Installation errors are going to cause the performance to be poor and increase carryback. And then also, if you only use urethane, and this is one of the things that we come across with a lot as we're walking facilities down and inspecting carryback, is the amount of urethane secondary cleaners. It's really important to use that combination of urethane and tungsten carbide together to get those really fine pieces of material. If you don't use that urethane pre-cleaner, the big chunks of material that that urethane blade was going to scrape off the belt will typically build up on that tungsten carbide primary and cause it to be ineffective. If you don't use that tungsten carbide secondary and only use that urethane primary, you're not going to have that steel to belt friction to get those fine, sticky pieces of carryback off the belt. And then finally, a big concern is just simply incorrect belt cleaner selection. So most manufacturers, we're the same as a lot of other ones out there. We have lots of different belt cleaners to choose from. And it's common to choose belt cleaners because it's the newest belt cleaner on the market, or because it's available to ship when you need it, or at the facility, it's maybe you have replacement blades on the shelf already for this particular cleaner. But if those belt cleaners aren't professionally selected and really the right product for the application, you really get significant reduction in performance. So a couple of things here with belt cleaner selection that I wanted to share with you is the material that you're scraping off the belt is important. Not just the material, whether it be coal, but we also want to take in consideration the condition of the coal, the moisture content, how much there is, things like that. So it's not just the product, but it's the product in the state of that time of year or that part of the facility. The diameter of the head pulley is critically important. The bigger the diameter of the drum, the more stout, the larger blade that you would need on a primary cleaner. Secondary cleaners aren't really affected by the size of the head pulley. Primary cleaners are greatly affected by the size of the head pulley. Belt speed needs to be taken into consideration. And one of the biggest errors that we see in selecting belt cleaners is in the size of the primary blade. It's critical that blades made of urethane be no wider than the material path. And if you look in this photo in the right-hand corner of your screen, you see that this urethane blade is considerably wider than where the material is on the belt. Urethane wears as it cleans. It doesn't wear from the friction of the belt. So if that urethane blade is as wide as the belt is, it will wear only where the material on the belt is. So we want to make sure that those urethane blades are trimmed as close to the material path as possible, as you see in the diagram on the left and the photo on the right. Primary belt cleaner installation is critical as well. If at your facilities, your own people are installing those belt cleaners, they need to make sure they follow the manufacturer's recommendations as close to possible. But it's always a great idea to have those belt cleaners professionally installed. The biggest error that we see on the primary belt cleaners is the distance that the mainframe be installed from the surface of the belt. Now, most manufacturers call that the X dimensions, the distance from the center of the mainframe from the surface of the belt. And every belt cleaner's got a little bit different X dimension. And that X dimension will change depending on the size of the pulley. But roughly, it might be somewhere between 2.5 to 3.5 inches, depending on the size of the drum and the belt cleaner that you're looking at. If that X dimension is not followed very, very closely, and the center of the mainframe is too close to the surface of the belt, like in the diagram on the screen, the tip of that urethane blade doesn't make contact with the belt. The heel of that blade is what makes contact with that belt, and then that urethane blade will not perform as expected. One of the things that we always make sure we talk about at installation time is keep in mind that X dimension is on a radius to the belt. Most installations are going to call for the tip of that blade to be at, in this example, the 3 o'clock position. And that is ideal. It's ideal to have the tip of that blade at the 3 o'clock position on the drum, but what's sacred, what can't be deviated from, is that X dimension. So you want to make sure that if you're going to deviate an installation, rotate that belt cleaner on that X dimension, and that tip of the blade can come away from that 3 o'clock position if needed. Secondary belt cleaners, they also need to be installed correctly. A couple of quick points on installing a secondary. You want to make sure that those tips of the blades don't recline too far. So earlier I said we talked about scraping and peeling on a secondary belt cleaner. They're at that scraping position. They're non-aggressive, and that's defined at an angle that is less than 90 degrees. In some cases, you will have installers that will install that secondary cleaner at too small of an angle. So you want that secondary cleaner installed at less than 90 degrees or equal, but you don't want it to be significantly less than 90 degrees. Otherwise, it just smears material on the belt. You want to try to keep close to 90 degrees as possible. Secondary cleaners should install about 25 millimeters, an inch, inch and a half off the pulley. If you look at the photo on the left, you can see that blade is allowing that any splice can come through without the blade pinching that splice between the blade and the belt. So you want to leave about 25 millimeters, an inch, somewhere in there to allow a little bit of flex in that belt. Now you don't want it 3 or 4 inches off, because as that secondary belt cleaner is tensioned with its linear tension, it'll just drive that belt out of profile. So you need that resistance of that drum, but you don't want that belt cleaner right on the drum where it could pinch the belt between the belt and the pulley, the blade and the pulley. If you have to install secondary cleaners far off of the head pulley, and because of head shoot limitations, you may need to, that's okay. But in those instances, you're going to want to recreate that 1 inch of the, that the head pulley gave you by putting a hold down roll. And that's going to give that blade something to push against to give it the resistance it needs to make sure that the belt is going to, you get the friction that you expect out of that secondary cleaner. Another thing that's going to affect your belt cleaners are the surface of the belt and splices. I want to talk a little bit here about surfaces, the belt surface. If you've got any type of damage to the top cover of the belt, those belt scrapers aren't going to work as properly. And one of the first questions that we get, we often have people say, hey, what about a brush cleaner? Could I use a brush cleaner to get into those cracks and crevices? Yeah, you can. They're out there. They're not going to get you the performance that we're talking about when we're talking about a multiple cleaner system, when we say 50% and 40%. But you can use a belt cleaner to get into a damaged belt. But a better practice is to preserve the top cover of the belt as much as possible. Most damage is just that. It's damage to the surface of the belt. Most users consider any surface imperfections to the belt as wear. And in many cases, it's not wear, it's damage. Damage can be prevented. And you should make every effort you can in preventing that damage to your belt. A couple examples that I have here in our classes and in our webinars, we talk about 15 different types of belt damage. In these examples, I'm showing what we call entrapment damage, impingement damage, and heat damage. Heat damage is pretty self-explanatory. Impingement damage happens when material is rotating on the surface of your belt. Entrapment damage often is blamed when it's thought to happen from skirting damaging the surface of the belt, or steel from the chute wall damaging the surface of the belt. But in almost every instance, it's material that's being trapped and then abrasive to the surface of the belt. So these are damages. They're not wear. Damage can be prevented. Wear is not as common as we might think. We also need to take into consideration belt markings. If your belt manufacturer are putting any type of indentation in your belt, the belt scrapers aren't going to be able to get that material that's packed in there. Keep in mind that material is wet, it's very fine, vibration can cause it to pack in there, and those belt cleaners can't get it to escape. Okay, a little bit here on splices before we break out of here. A scythed mechanical clip, if scythed properly, should work with most belt cleaners. In a lot of facilities, there's concern with using a mechanical clip, especially with a tungsten carbide secondary. If that mechanical clip is scythed, and that secondary tungsten carbide cleaner is installed correctly, that splice should not be problematic to that belt cleaner. If you're not familiar with the center picture, this is called the super screw splice. There's a couple of different manufacturers out there that are making this. It's very similar to a mechanical splice in that it mechanically holds the belt together. The difference between a scythed mechanical splice and the super screw is that the super screw will prevent material sifting through, which can be a problem with a traditional mechanical clip. If you're vulcanizing your belts, no problems. There's no concerns with belt cleaner interference on any vulcanized splice. Now, I would encourage you to take just that little bit of extra time if you're doing those mechanical clips. Make sure you scythe those clips in. And if you're not familiar with what scything is, it's really simple. It's basically cutting away the rubber top cover of the belt. And in some cases, you can cut away the rubber bottom cover as well. And that's going to let that mechanical splice sit more flush with the surface of the belt and not cause the interference that we're concerned about as that clip comes through and meets that primary cleaner. If you need more information about skiving or these different types of belt damage, I'm going to share some contact information with you afterwards and give you some resources that you can refer back to as well. Before we break out of here real quick, I want to mention maintenance of belt cleaners. Maintenance is probably one of the, if not the most important aspect to get that 90% performance that we talk about. And belt cleaner maintenance is really not difficult, but when you compare it to all the other maintenance issues that need to go on at a plant or a mine, it's pretty low priority. And what we're really trying to do is get belt cleaner users to recognize that, hey, it's gonna be really tough to tackle this carryback problem without these belt cleaners being maintained properly. And one of the bigger concerns that we have about belt cleaner maintenance is a little bit of tension is good, right? It's like, it's springtime, right? So I'll tell you a little story about my yard. I'm a yard guy. My yard's gotta look perfect. Anybody like that out here? Yard has to look perfect. Well, when I bought my first house came along with my first lawn, and I wanted a good looking lawn. And a little bit of crabgrass preventer this time of year, good deal, right? Well, I'm one of these guys that thought if a little bit of crabgrass preventer is good, a lot of it of crabgrass preventer is real good. Well, guess what I did? I smoked my whole lawn the first year. Well, I tell you this story because it's not unlike what we do with belt scrapers. A little bit of tension on those belt scrapers, they work pretty good, right? But boy, what if we put a lot of tension on them? Won't they work really, really great? We tested that. We've tested that for many, many years. And what we found is no, that's not the case. Now, it's not gonna ruin your lawn, but it will cause your blades to wear quickly. It won't reduce the carry back. It increases manpower to keep that pressure on there. And what we also found is it caused a radical increase in belts mistracking. So you want to make sure that you're tensioning your belt cleaners properly according to the manufacturer's specifications. The manufacturer's going to give instructions on how to tension their belt cleaners, and what they're doing with those instructions is trying to keep that tension in that critical PSI range, that critical pressure range. Because if you are less than that range, you're not going to eliminate carry back. If you exceed that range, your blades are going to wear very, very quickly, and your belt's much more likely to miss track. Before we break out of here, do you have any questions for me? Already there, Steve?
Great talk. You didn't really address the tailpiece cleaning prior to the tailpiece. Is that just another location for the tungsten carbide passive cleaners?
Are you talking about scraping material off the belt before it enters the tail pulley?
Correct.
Typically, that material, when you're scraping material on the, what we would call clean side of the belt before it carries in or comes into the tail pulley, typically at that location, you're not as concerned with the wet, sticky fines. Now, there are cleaners that are installed at that tail pulley to keep material from entering that tail pulley and building up into that pinch point. Typically, they're not tungsten carbide.
And can you comment about dual-bladed scrapers?
Dual-bladed scrapers?
Yeah, a scraper that's separated by a small distance. But
so there's some assemblies out there that are dual-bladed. Typically, you're still, when you consider those, they're fine products, but you still want to take them into consideration when we talk about the differences between primaries and secondaries. If they're dual-bladed, that first blade is most likely going to sit in that primary area. It's probably going to create an aggressive angle, and it's probably going to be made of urethane or rubber. If all those are correct, then I'm good with that. That second blade and that dual blade, if it lays in that primary zone and creates that aggressive angle, it needs to be urethane or rubber. However, it might be in that secondary zone. If it is installed in that secondary zone and creating that non-aggressive, less than 90 degree angle, then our recommendation would be that it may be made of tungsten carbide, because it will perform better being made of tungsten carbide. But you need to make sure that it is installed at either 90 degrees or less. But those concepts still apply that we talked about earlier on those dual-bladed cleaners. Any other questions? Okay, before we break out of here real quick, Steve?
Nope. How about a round of applause for Jared?
All right. Thank you very much. Before I break out of here real quick, I just want to share with you, remember, proper belt cleaning could get as much as 90% of the carryback eliminated. Installation, selection, maintenance will affect performance, and belt surface and splice make a difference. If you need more information, feel free to scan that QR code. That'll send you to our website, to my contact information. If you'd like one of our books or join us on our next webinar, feel free to drop us an email. I'd be glad to do that. Thank